Testing? Yep, okay. Okay, let's turn to John 11. Okay, let's start reading from the top. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sister went, sent words to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." But when Jesus heard this, he said, "This sickness is not to the end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may glorify by it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walk in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walk in the light, he stumble, because the light is not in him." Then he said, and after that, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep." The disciple then said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, then he will recover." Now Jesus has spoken of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of a literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe that let us go to him." Therefore Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, so that we may die with him." So Jesus came, and he found that he has already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many Jews have come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when he heard that Jesus was coming, went to him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you have been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to him, "I am the resurrection, the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, and even he who comes into the world." When he had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, "The teacher here is calling for you." And when she heard it, and she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus has not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary caught up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep again. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, he saw him and fell at his feet, saying, "Lord, if you have been here, my brother would not have died. Here, I just want to highlight this verse. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jew who came with her also weeping, and he was deeply moved in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jew was saying, "See how he had loved him." But some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man had kept this man also from dying?" So Jesus, again, being deeply moved within, come to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was laying against it. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you are always near me, but because of the people standing around I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he said all these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The man who had died, come forth, bound hand and foot with the wrapping, and his face was wrapped around with the cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he has done and believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus has done. Okay, let's pray before I share the message. Holy Spirit, just ask you to pour out your Spirit over us, Lord. Just enlighten us and speak to us and review, you know, whatever message that you want to download to each one of us individually and also, you know, corporately as well. Thank you for being with us. Keep speaking to us throughout the message, throughout the day as well. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, if you've been to EMP last Thursday, you say, oh, this is the same passage. Yes, it's the same passage. It's a very long passage too. So take up 5 minutes of my time. but that's not the point. But, I'm going through EG class. I remember one of the members during our discussion was asking, I think it's one of the first lessons, was asking, Bible, I'm reading the Bible, but it's like, you know, to me, it's like sometimes Bible is just like reading a story. It doesn't do anything to me, just story, and doesn't have that life-transforming power. And I remember, you know, a couple advice that PSM gave at the class. One thing that's very important is like before you open your Bible, you actually pray to God for ask for enlightenment, ask for revelation from God, and time after time is always work, you know, when you seek God first, because at the end of the day, the Word of God is a revelation from God. Many passages in the Bible is that unless God speaks to you, you actually don't have that revelation. So important that we seek God before we go to His Word. And also, you know, sometimes, you know, the Bible is not meant to be reading one time. It's meant to be reading many times. And time, you know, sometimes you don't get different message out of it. Sometimes you don't get, you know, you read through it, it's there. But sometimes you read it again and suddenly certain things jump up. And this is exactly what happened, you know, a few weeks ago. And I just want to share it with you because it's really, really fun for me going through this journey, like to learn more about God's Word and how, you know, come together, different people contributing and making the text so much more enriched. As we learn about God's Word. And so it come by, you know, initially it's just one of our staff, she is doing her own devotions, and this is her devotion passage. And then she shared with our staff together. And this story, you know, the Lazarus story is like, probably many people heard about it, and they're so rich, the text talk about so many things, and it's very significant in many ways. It's one of the passages being used to explain one of the reasons why suffering exists, why people die, why people are ill. Here, it offers a possible answer is to bring glory to God. God, at the end, we see that life being resurrected. And so people went through that time, but at the end, God is delaying the healing so that, you know, people can see He is God, and He is sent by God, and God have that resurrected power. And this passage also very significant because this passage was the timing of this is Lazarus was after he was resurrected. I haven't read the whole passage, but if you continue with this chapter 11, you will realize that because of this incident, the Pharisee was really threatened by Jesus because he's doing all this sign and miracle and almost overpowering their position in the society. A lot of people, it's not just the status, it's not the authority being threatened, but it also come with economic gain too. But that put it aside. And for whatever reason, the Pharisee and the priests, you know, those people at the time was threatened by Jesus. He's doing all this miracle. And this top all the miracle, he raised people from the dead in public. Previously, he had raised people from death, but always keep it secret. But here, he make a public announcement. He even yelled out and say, Lazarus, come out. He make a statement, and he raised people from death. And so as from that point, people plot to kill him. And some of the theologians also draw some significance from this particular passage. It's the Lazarus that when he died and being rose again, but ultimately Lazarus also died as well. So people are drawing up comparisons about Jesus' life when he also died on the cross, but rise again. But he, you know, live out, you know, went up to the heaven and showing us the way that the life of an eternal life. So here is a temporary resurrection, so to speak, and he ultimately Lazarus died too. But here's the significant drawing from that passage, also giving us another comparison and view of a comparison to Jesus' resurrection is different. And so many things that's not just like, you know, the things that I just share with you, it's not just that. So many other passages as well. There's this middle part of the teaching about the darkness, the 12 hours and all this stuff. And when I won't go into it today, but it's like so many messages that coming through it. And so for me, you know, during the staff meeting, it's like, oh, it's the same old story again. And Monica at the time, I just highlighted it one little sentence that I totally missed it, which is a sentence that, you know, Pastor Nate highlighted as well. So at the staff devotion, I was like, whoa, this is so good in my heart. I didn't express it that way. But it was talking about now, the verse is verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. So when he heard he was sick, he stayed 2 days longer where he was. And suddenly to me, it's just, like, oh, God do all this. Because my understanding was that God do all this to show the glory, to show the way, to show the teachings, to show all this. But behind it is that motivation of love. And he do it with the love. And I remember during the devotions, Monica highlighted that point, is that even in your suffering, God loves you. It happened, yeah. In that 2 days of waiting, for us in a human perspective, that we're waiting for healing, nothing happened, and even die. And oftentimes, it's like, where are you, God? Can't you see me suffering at this time? Can't you come and save me and help me and do all this? But the fact and the truth is God love. And his love, a lot of time when we look at the passage, like God, his love endure forever. I always puzzle with the word, why endure? Because endure almost denoted that this suffering's going on. So it kind of like give a deeper meaning of his love endure forever. It's like despite the suffering happening, God's love never changed. And his love is right there. And what, you know, first day, you know, when Pastor Nate shared about it, he took it a step forward into a deeper revelation to that really struck me as well, is that this love is actually the motivation behind whatever God is doing. So yes, he's teaching us good things, he's showing us his glory and demonstrating and all this, but behind it is the ultimate reason that he's do that is love. And so I was sitting here and I was like, you know, meditating and contemplating about this concept. It's about this love because it's easy to understand here. You know, even like, you know, people share and preachers preach and say, okay, God loves you and he do all this, you get it here. But it's another distance to go into the heart, to accept that this is actually God's love. And I felt that it's so important for that travel from the head knowledge to the heart knowledge to really grasp that, you know, despite whatever that you're going through, that you have that faith, that truth that is printed in you and engraved in your heart that he loves you and he do all this because he loves you. And yeah, so I was like simple, but then it's kind of profound because it's just not quite happening in my life yet, or suddenly like it becomes so true, like something like a truth that, you know, it's just, you know, coming onto you is like so real. And after the message, I talked to Pina. I was like, oh, I'm going to share about this because it's so, you know, it's kind of like worked something in my heart during that. And so I, as I'm preparing this message, so I go into, you know, look at different commentaries and also, you know, during the time of EMP, as Pastor Nate was preaching, and I was reminded by Holy Spirit at the time about a later verse where Jesus, when you do a Bible trivial, one of the trivial, they ask you, what is the shortest verses in the whole of the Bible? Do you know what is the shortest verses? Jesus wept. Yeah, so it's verse 35. Say, and so let's quickly just draw to that. Oh, Jesus cried. Even though he know that he's going to raise the people from the dead, like raise Lazarus from the dead, even know that before he go there, he know that God's glory, God's name is going to be lifted high and people can see God's glory and people be wowed by this miracle. But yet, when he was there, when he saw, Mary weeping and he saw, the Jews were weeping, he also wept with them. And it was like and other pictures. And if you look at the whole of the John 11, you realize that when we talk about, theology, talking about God is fully God and he's fully man, it's full, in this passage, it's full, a full demonstration how he is a fully God. He resurrects, alive, a miracle. He's fully God having that power. But also he's fully man because he has that compassion. He can sympathize and he cry with those who mourn. And he was right there, even though he knew the outcome is going to be good, but he did not devoid of all his emotion. He actually was right side by side with them and mourning with them. And there's another, couple other word that is in this particular passage that refer to the emotion of Christ. One of the couple words that is in verse 33, it talk about he was deeply moved in the spirit and was troubled. And in verse 38 again, he would say he is deeply moved. So immediately when we look at the translation, this English translation, we were thinking, oh God, he was really, when they say deeply moved and troubled, you will immediately jump into the conclusion that Jesus was sad because Lazarus died and all this stuff. And so I went through the commentary and I went through the word study. And then I come to people comments and scholar study of the word deeply moved in the spirit, the word deeply moved. It turned out that, it's really interesting when I was looking at it. Oh, this is really interesting how the interpretation history is going on. We take it in the English translations, it's deeply moved, and we stop there. And a lot of time when people preach or people look at that passage, we say it's sympathy, it's sadness, and all this. But if you look at the original Greek work, it's like moved with anger. Also, some actually say it's outburst of anger. It's like this even stronger emotion, but funny enough, there is anger there. And the question... Apparently, a different traditional translation is the German translation. When it first being translated, it's talk about move with anger. So you can imagine, because of different translation, a different theology kind of form. In the German, they would talk about, why there is this anger. So different possibility, why Jesus would be reacting with anger in that particular passage. I think one thing that people would say that because, the people are so thick, that God do all the miracle and he explained to Martha, and Martha say, I know you are the resurrection and life, but yet turn around and they're still weeping. And they still, it's kind of angry with their unbelief. How can you, can't you understand this is, God's glory and all this? So it's frustration and anger. But there's another explanation which I think I can identify even more. It's actually angry against death. That taking away the life of a beloved one, the power of the darkness being in place on earth, that you are and causing people grief, and Jesus was angry with that. The reason why I I really can identify with that anger. Go back to an incident that I experienced. It is the first deliverance that I ever experienced in my life. Not on myself, but I being asked to participate, but also it's the first deliverance I ever seen in my life. I was happy, you know, Christians, like enjoying the signs and wonder of God, like, you know, like really happy about like speaking in tongues and, you know, like the joy that I experienced through it and all this stuff. And so during that time, I was volunteering with this youth organization called Breakthrough in Hong Kong. It's just big youth organizations. And so basically we meet every week and we train and we prepare for a gospel camp during that time in April, during Easter. So the youth will come to the gospel camp and we will come together. And I remember that particular, and we work with a group of volunteers and we know each other quite well. And you know who, you kind of like a bonding that is being developed. You're doing a project together and you are learning about each other's and growing together in during that season of time. So we kind of really closely knitted group during that time. And the night before the gospel camp, we are preparing ourselves. And our leader was like, you know what? We're doing God's work, and we really need to come clean before God. And one of the brother, he has a lot of unforgiveness. He have a terrible, terrible childhood, being abused, and just parents don't know how to raise kids really badly. And very broken relationship with his family, and a lot of unforgiveness, a lot of hatred in the family. And during that time, he would just simply call out to God and say, God, help me. And suddenly, after he say that God, help me, inviting God, you know, to help him with things, he suddenly manifests. He become, I don't know whether you guys see a person being demon possessed. Probably in the movie, right? It's like where you have people holding the person down. We have three guys holding him down. At the time, he was like struggling, I was like moving and like going crazy. And someone, and I'm the, other than the leader, I'm the only one who can speak in tongues, so to speak. The rest of them is like from more traditional background church. And so I never see any of this. So immediately I was called to assist to cast out the demon. And honestly, I never see a Christian being possessed or being taken over by demon in such a thing. And so three men was holding him down, and all I can do is like praying in tongues. And then the leader was like, it was really funny. My leader is also very new to doing this too. And seems the demon actually traveled to different, from hands to hand. And it's like, so where you are, it's like spirit of anger, get out and something like that. But, so we were holding him down. And the rest of us is really beautiful for me to look at it. For someone who don't know what's going on, all the rest of us, there's about 10 of them, brother and sister, we're all holding hands outside the circle, and the guy was in the middle holding down by three guys, and me and my leader was trying to cast out the demons, and the outer circle, they were singing hymns. And it was really beautiful, like, because we love the brother. Oh, even now I have like really emotion, but we love the brother, but yet we don't know what to do, so we have to live up to God. And in the midst of it, I suddenly reminded a passage from the Gospel of John, the verse 1, like, in the beginning there is Word, and Word was God. And so I then take out the Bible and just start reading it. So I open the Gospel of John and start reading, in the beginning there was Word. And suddenly that brother was like with extra power or whatever. He just like, you know, even the three guys were holding him down. He was able to free himself, and he hit my Bible, and my Bible hit my face. So without the Bible, I can't be smashed right on my face. But it was like, whoa, that is hitting on my face. And the whole time I was calm enough, but I do remember at one particular moment when my leader was speaking into the brother, to the spirit that is in the brother. He was saying that, you know, anger, spirit of anger, get out. And I remember I was looking into the eyes of my brother there. And the anger that coming out from him, it was just not him. It's not the him that I know. It was someone else that is in there. So when I look at them, I was so, even now I was like, emotion. But But when I'm looking at those eyes that do not belong to my brother, I was so angry that, oh, why? I don't know why I'm doing this. I never did that before, but I was so angry that how can, you know, force can take over someone so precious in God's eyes. I was really, really angry with the spirit that taking over. And, yeah, I never did that. I shared this story many times, but never that emotion. Must be God. But yeah, so I was like absolutely angry with what the devil is doing. And so when I was reading this passage talking about Jesus was weeping, now I'm weeping now, but Jesus was deeply moved with anger, I can identify the anger that God have against the devil. And so he was troubled. And so that's the verse 35 that deeply move or with anger and trouble. But if you, and then I move on to verse 38, but if you look at the, this is, oh good. Okay, dying too. Okay, and this is the different verse. From verse 38, it talk about deeply move. And, you know, sometimes the conjunctive work is very useful because the beginning it says, so Jesus again was deeply moved. And you look at the verse before it, it says, but some, well, I go two verses before, like some Jews seeing Jesus wept, so it say, so the Jew was saying, see how he loved him, how Jesus loved, so that he also cried with the Mary and Martha. But, you know, some of them are not the fan of Jesus, obviously. And even, you know, it could be the enemy at the time. And then they challenge, you know, they say that, could this man who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man also from dying? So he basically is like unbelief again, you know, that, you know, they challenge Jesus, like, you heal the blind, but you can't do anything now, almost like mocking. And so this part, I can understand why Jesus was angry with these people. So here, the passage says, so Jesus, again, was deeply moved with anger. And I think from my take of this particular passage, I want to highlight to you, you know, earlier on, is like, God is fully God, but at the same time, he is fully man. And he fully understands what we're going through. And he's not just looking from the far, or even on the cross, he, you know, experienced all the pain and suffering, not just that, but he's in that journey with us, that he actually walking down his journey, feeling what we feel. And he have normal emotion, he can angry, in trouble, he is like very sad and he cry. He's very human as well. And he just one of us in many ways. Not in many ways, in all ways, but except we don't have the God part in us, right? The fully God part that is in us. But yeah, so this morning I share with you not just, you know, who God is, but also I want to share with you this journey of, you know, different Christians coming together, sharing about God's message, and it's enriched the text. And it's so fun. And a lot of time, it's good that we do our own devotions. It's good that we take a small chunk of Bible reading and get enlightenment. But I also want to encourage you guys to share. Because it's one sharing, inspire another one, and that make, you know, God's work so more powerful. And with people sharing with their experience coming together, it's just a beautiful process together, a beautiful process of growing together. And a lot of time people, I in the past I have friends, like, you know, they are hurt by church, or they disagree what God is teaching and they refuse to go to church and say, it's my personal relationship with God. And I would always like say, this is not a complete picture of our Christians. Church is important. A corporate body together, growing together is what God have ordained. And so, this morning, I'll just give Sarah can come up and just lay some time and just, you know, rest in the Lord and really see how God speaks to you. Because every time, you know, even message, you get a different take. But let's, you know, spend some time really just going back to the passage that you heard this morning and, you know, let God speak to you, because when he speaks, it's so much more powerful. So I just want a time that we can just soak because we're not going anywhere on Saturday, I guess. So we can be a time to, like, you know, really soak and ask God to speak to you about this passage. God speak differently, but different take is so powerful when he speaks to you. So let's spend some time doing that.
About the way how he loves us.
Jesus, you say that, you know, every day is a new day. We're being refreshed by you, God. You know, I just ask, God, that you do a supernatural surgery on us, you know, as we go before you, as we reflect on ourselves and reflect in you, God, that any part that is not pleasing to you, God, just help us to cut them away. Help us to be in a position to really in sync with you, God. We see in the passage today, God, that you sympathize with us. You experience what we experience too. And a lot of time because of hurt, rejections, unforgiveness, sometimes our emotions are being blocked because of all this. And I just ask you this morning, just do a surgery in us, God, to remove all this so that we can also live out that fullness that you have decided for us to do, to live, or go back to that original design that you are fully compassion. You have all these emotion compartment to experience that life fully, God. God, I also ask you to, you know, remove the prejudice that we might, the blind spot that we might have in us blocking us in getting close to you and getting to the truth, because this truth is our lifeline, Lord. I also live up our church as a community, God, that our brother and sister coming together, iron sharpening iron, but yet at the same time we edifying each other, God. Make it exciting for us to come in and share about your word. Make it exciting for us that we want to profess or confess the wonders that you have done in our life. God, pour out your compassion over us. So as we intercede for our brother and sister now, you know, seeing all these people on the sick who are under the power of the darkness at this time, we just have that compassion. We have that, even we have the intensity to the way that even describe it as anger with the things that Satan done in our brother and sister's life. And we would be able to stand and say no. And we have that compassion and we have that intensity to intercede for our brother and sister. So let's turn to our community prayer focus for the, let's keep contending for the relatives, you know, families, members that's suffering from cancer, and pray for those who are in the process of recovering as well. Let's continue to pray for those who do not have Christ in them yet and then still suffering physically. Let's really contend for them. Thank you. Let's turn to the next page. Let's pray for the various infirmities suffered by the SP community members, community friends and families. Let's also contend for our brothers and sisters who are looking for jobs, and the name on there, like some of them have been on for a long time. Really, also on top praying for opportunity, also praying God, you know, continue pressing with them, and any, you know, hopelessness that the enemy tried to put into their heart, we rebuke in the name of Jesus. Also, let's turn to our today mission focus. We are praying for Indonesia. There is a faith ministry in Hong Kong, Pastor Salamat, and Kupang is the place that we've been going, SP been supporting, and also praying for Singapore, and also, you know, the SPs that is now living in Singapore. Let's also pray for them as well. Let's pray for the different education ministry. They include the Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and the College Ministry. I really ask God pour out the anointing and impartation on the teachers and the leaders, because they are the one who impart God's wisdom, God's love, and into the young ones. So let's continue to lift this ministry up. Let's continue to pray for the SP families and also, you know, the marriages. Just continue to live that, you know, God is that bonding among the family and also the marriage. Also, let's pray for the health churches meeting this today, the Bel Air, Madaddy and Robinson family. Thank you. Let's also pray for the Sunday service. Pray for the Pastor Nate is preaching this Sunday. Pray for his message as he's continuing to work through his message. And also pray for the logistic or all the barista, different ministry that is serving. And also, you know, youth group is going on at the same time, and also the Noah's Ark going. Just praying like all these different ministry that going ahead, and also Igape is today and also tomorrow. So just keep living all this ministry be God center ministry, and not, you know, other way. Dear Lord Jesus, I just really want to once again just want to say thanks to you. How you stir our heart, you know, today, at least for me, I am definitely really stirred by the Spirit. But I just really want to give thanks for you, because every time I was able to encounter your word, it's just stirred my spirit. And this is my prayer for my brother and sister too, when they also meet you. In, you know, wherever they go, they meet you. And but also, you know, there's this, this special thing, at least for my experience, is like when I encounter you, when they encounter you in the Word, that enlightenment, that is almost like the pleasure is sometimes cannot be described. I just ask that God that you will continue to guide us this journey to know you more, to find out you more, to seek your wisdom, just like the proverb number two was saying, that you know, it's you're seeking you, your wisdom like silver, seeking you like the hidden treasure that is surprise coming up every time when we go to you. And this is an exciting and fun journey, God. And I just pray, Father, that you know, that we always be able to experience that first love that you describe. Like for those who have not experienced, I pray that they do experience that first love that you describe in the Bible. And a sister reminded me yesterday, you know, she was saying that I just cannot contain. It's like the worship song that we sing, we cannot contain the love that you have pouring out over us. And this is my prayer for myself and also for my brother sister. I really lift your name up and ask that you pour out that wonderful love over us, and that we may experience you that in a deeper level, God. Thank you for being with us this morning, God. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Okay, so spend more time soaking in the Lord, you know, meditating. Have a good day. Huh?